And, you know, I think one of the things that happens sometimes when we talk about the doctrines of grace or Calvinism or man's responsibility is we just start talking about one little point as if that point is in isolation. And I thought one of the best ways to begin this discussion is to give each of you an opportunity just to put the thing in context, because that's very important for people to hear your heart, to hear your mind and your soul. Just your thinking in general about God's sovereignty and human responsibility in salvation. So, Dr. Akin, we'll start with you, and let's just talk about, in general, put this in context, your view on God's sovereignty and human responsibility in salvation.
Okay, Jerry. Well, I've had the joy for a number of years of teaching theology, and I tell my students that the starting point for doing theology must be God. And therefore, when it comes to this doctrine, God must again be the starting point. And I would categorize myself as a compatibilist. And by that, I mean this. I do believe that God is sovereign in salvation and that the Bible clearly teaches that he predestines and elects people to be saved. But he does so in such a way as to not violate our free will and moral responsibility to repent and believe the gospel. Now, is that a great mystery, and is there tension in that declaration? Yes, absolutely. I say to the students, anything that lessens God's sovereignty, I'm going to be opposed to that. I'm going to adamantly oppose things that lead to things like open theism. On the other hand, anything that lessens our missionary evangelistic passion, I'm against that as well. And so I affirm in sort of a dual tension that God is sovereign, and man is responsible to repent and exercise faith, and I operate very comfortably in that kind of dual-track understanding of this issue.
All right, thank you very much. We'll get back to some of those statements you just made in just a minute. But Dr. Coppinger, if you would, just kind of, again, set the table. In general, your view about God's sovereignty, human responsibility, how do you see that in total?
Yeah, you know, I was raised without any notion of what Calvinism was, and I think it was when I was in Faith Learning Seminar at Wheaton that I first saw the term TULIP, the acronym, and I became aware of it. But it wasn't until I was at Southwestern Seminary. They always surprised me how much they had us read. I remember my first day in one class, the guy said, read Acts for Thursday. And I thought, well, Acts what? You know, I didn't know you like read whole books at a time. So I was reading through the Bible with more energy, and I came to Romans 9 in the student center there and was just absolutely flummoxed by the sovereignty of God pictured there, that he is absolutely in charge. I love the word compatibilism. I mean, we use it in philosophy, too. And I think that man is free in that he does what he wants to do, but he is not free in that he does not strictly want what he wants to do. He's in bondage to his nature. And so I think it is very finely compatible. And when I affirm the abstract of principles at Southern Seminary, I affirm that he has a free will, and I have a free will. I want to lift that Bible. But where does that want to come from? And that's not strictly under my control. It has to do with my nature.
You're listening to Jerry Johnson Live. We're at the Southern Baptist Convention. We're talking about Calvinism, predestination, free will. Our guest, Dr. Danny Akin, president of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, and Dr. Mark Coppinger. He teaches at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. He's pastor of Evanston Baptist Church. Let's talk about that for just a moment. Let's go down that tulip. Let's go down that tulip. And we were just talking here about depravity. I heard that word. Let's talk about total depravity. Dr. Akin, what's your view?
Well, let me first of all say what it's not. Total depravity does not mean that any one person is as bad as they can possibly be. And sometimes that is a misrepresentation of what those who affirm total depravity believe. Rather, total depravity teaches that every aspect of man's being is infected with the germ and the disease of sin. His mind, his will, his emotions, so that of his own initiative, man cannot, man would not, man has no desire to choose or move toward God. There is none righteous, no, not one. There's none who seeks after God. Unless God takes the initiative in some way, and there's room for discussion on that, but unless God takes the initiative, no person will of their own volition, their own will, move toward God because they are infected fatally with the disease of sin.
Let me follow up on that for just a moment, because a lot of people might be surprised to hear that, what you had to say. I grew up in a Southern Baptist church in East Texas. I didn't hear it put that way very often. And, you know, I've heard some people call us Arminian, or we've drifted Arminian. And I'm wondering if it's maybe Pelagian even. And that, do you think the average Southern Baptist church has heard that kind of teaching about depravity, what you just said.
No, I don't, because I think we have a shallow, superficial view of human nature that basically says people are good. Give people the opportunity, and they will do the nice and the right thing. I believe give people the opportunity, they'll do the bad thing, because that's what the Scriptures teach.
Dr. Coppinger, you disagree with anything there? What do you think about total depravity?
No, I absolutely agree. I think it's the linchpin of the Calvinistic system, so to speak, that your theological anthropology determines everything. If man is hopeless, if he is fouled up in each of his capacities, then he doesn't have the wherewithal to choose God. So God has to do all the work. He has to elect the person. He has to break down his resistance, open Lydia's heart, and so forth. He has to choose particular people to go for. And it's all of God because of this. Incidentally, I just want to pitch one thing in. I read, when I was in grad school, I read in the New York Times Sunday magazine that the notion of the fall of man or original sin is actually the linchpin of political conservatism, too. Those who think man is perfectible think that you can throw enough money in or, you know,
education.
Get them out of poverty, education, whatever, and he'll come out. But if you think that he's really not curable, you basically just try to keep him from killing other people and themselves. So you tax him enough to build highways and so the ambulances can run, and you build an army, and it's a minimalist kind of view of government. But the notion of original sin or the fall of man or the depravity of man is hugely important.